Our speaker today about genealogy is Lynn Redd. Some of you may know her in her previous incarnation as the library director at Rainier School, and also as the one that does all the exhibits at WLA and makes them all stand up and lie, for those of you that go to WLA. But anyway, Lynn, I'll let you tell what you're going to talk about, and then away you go.
Well, what I wanted to talk about with you today is what we're doing here at the State Library with genealogy. It's a relatively new direction for us. We didn't used to do this kind of thing, but once it got started, it's growing by leaps and bounds. So I wanted to give you an idea of what kinds of things we can do to help those of you out away from the Olympia area, which obviously you all are. Now, you got a bunch of handouts, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I'm not going to really go over those handouts with you unless you have questions about them, because I figure they're pretty self-explanatory.
Okay. This is Jennifer Dysart at Green River, and I didn't get handouts either. I heard at least one other person say that they did not get handouts. How can we make sure that we get those?
We will specifically send them to you. Who else didn't get a handout besides Jennifer?
Diane.
Diane? Okay, Diane, we will make sure at the very end we'll call you back and we'll get your emails.
And Fairchild?
Fairchild, you didn't get it either?
No.
Okay, we'll get emails from these people and email them to them. Anybody else?
This is Holly and Palouse. You mean the stuff we could take offline, right?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. That's what I got.
Okay, so what we'll do is, if anybody else didn't, we will email, we'll call you back. We have your phone numbers. We'll call you back and get it. But we'll let Lynn go on then.
Okay, this is Linda Dunham. I have a question about the Ask a Librarian. Is that for the public too, or is that just for people doing reference work on behalf of the public?
Oh, no, it's for the public.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Any of your customers that come in and need that that service, it's available.
Thanks.
One of the things it did, as long as we're talking about that, one of the things it says on that particular handout is that it could take up to 2 weeks. Right now we're running a little over 2 weeks because of the volume of questions that we're getting in. And the one thing to be aware of when people send in questions,
genealogical questions?
They can be any questions. The Ask a Librarian services really covers everything. What we're doing nowadays is splitting out the general information questions like where's my driver's license office, that kind of thing. It's going into a queue because there's much less of those. And the obituary questions are all going into the other queue, and that's the ones that we're having problems keeping up with. But approximately 2 weeks is what it takes to get an answer. And the kinds of things that we're answering in genealogy are basically, I need an obituary, I need a death date. We do have some access to marriage records, although they're not real good. It starts in 1968 and moves forward. Older ones are very difficult, and they're also harder to find in newspapers. But anything along those lines, any of your customers or you or anybody can send those questions into the Ask a page, and they'll get answered and sent back to you. Okay?
This is Linda again. I have another question. Do you scan the document where it is, or do you just give a typed out answer?
Oh, no. We scan and send it to you as a PDF file.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So that works pretty good. And the PDF files, as you probably know, you need Adobe to download it. But if it's a new customer or people that we think are new customers, we send you a link. So anybody can get that for free and download it onto their computer.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions about that part? Okay. One of the things that we ask when people send in questions, and one of the things that you need to know when you're trying to help people, is you need a death date. You need a concrete death date. And it's amazing how many people don't have that information. You have things passed down from family, and that doesn't really jive when you start going in and looking. So when you send questions in to us or call us, we need as much information as possible from your customers that are asking the questions. We need an approximate date of when they were born, where they were born, where they lived. Obituaries generally show up in locations where people lived and not where they died. And often we get said, oh, well, he died in Spokane. Well, but he lived in Seattle. So the Spokane paper is not going to run an obituary. So as much information to help us identify people as you can give us, that's really helpful. How many of you are actually dealing with people who are asking you about genealogy?
Oh yes, all of us.
Okay.
Yes, I have two.
Okay, so most of you probably know that when you're getting started with genealogy, the suggestion is that you start with the most recent part of your family. You know, people who are still alive, get dates, get information about relatives, get as much down on paper as you can for the most recent, and then you work backwards from there. You go, because the most recent census is 1930, you need information about what happened with the family between 1930 and the current time, so that you can then start tracing the ancestors back beyond that point. As soon as you can find the dates of death, you kind of need to make little charts, and there's some really good books, and I did not think to make a list of books for you.
Well, you can make one and we can send it later.
Right, I can do that, because I think I do have one that actually just needs some going over, and just a general list of books that will help people figure out about forms, about how to keep track of information. One of the banes of our life is when we have somebody who writes and says they want an obituary, we find it. 2 weeks later, they write and say they want the same obituary. If the same librarian picked up the question, then you know you've already answered it. Otherwise, you go look for an obituary that somebody else has already looked for. So it's really important to encourage your customers to keep good track of when they write letters to the various people and when they send questions in to us. One of the handouts that we're giving you is a list that Kim developed of what kind of records we have within the State Library that can help you find items. Birth indexes we have from 1907 to 1929. Marriage indexes, as I mentioned earlier, 1968 to 2004, and the same thing with divorce indexes. Some of the stuff you have to get from the local county library, not county library, local county clerks, because they kept records that we don't have access to. We have very good coverage on death indexes from pre-1907 by county, and then from 1907 to 2004. So death is an easy thing to deal with. The rest of the stuff is a little harder. And we also have some new online databases that allow us to get information much more currently, as long as it was under Social Security. We have something called GenBank now that covers clear up through 2007, as long as you ended up in a major newspaper. That's the key for that one. There's a lot of websites out there that you can access. if your libraries actually have computers, and I imagine everybody does, that's for patrons access. There's quite a number of websites that you can access. And I will, we did not include that as a list, but we can't, there is a list of online and on-site genealogy resources. That's one of the handouts. And that will give you most of those. I did not look at it to see if it included the new GenBank, which is only accessible here. It's not a free site, unfortunately. But rootsweb.com is a good source. Cindy's List, the only problems with Cindy's List is you've got to wade through it. You've got to figure out where, she's got so much on the list that it's sometimes hard to track down all of the various places. A lot of times I do a Google search and put in either names of people or locations. Say I want death records for Chehalis. And if I put that in into a Google search, I often come up with sites where that's available. So be sure to use Google searching to do some preliminary things. Family Search, the Latter-day Saints, they have websites that are available. They also have family centers that are available in most all towns, I think. Anybody that's got a LDS church has got a family center. All of their material is available on microfilm and can be interlibrary loaned through their centers, not through us. And that's another thing I should tell you, as long as we're talking about interlibrary loan, we will loan newspaper rolls of microfilm up to 10 at a time. I don't like doing that because then that means we don't have them when we need them. But you can, if a patron is looking for something and they don't have a real date, but they've got I think it happened in June, we will be glad to loan you the June newspapers that they want to look at. And all they have to do is get it through a library that has a microfilm reader, of course. But oftentimes, I've found that people come in here just to look at newspapers, to see where the family got mentioned in the newspaper during the period of time that they're looking at. And we do encourage people to plan trips here because our collection is growing. We've got quite a large collection of materials now. We try to buy everything from the local genealogical societies within the state. We are beginning to branch out and pick up some Oregon and some Idaho, Canada. So we have quite a lot of things that it helps if you come in here, you come prepared with your whole list of obituaries or people that you want to hunt up, and there's always somebody at the microfilm desk that can help you with that kind of searching, get you off to a good start. Any questions?
This is Linda from Grandview. Do you have any sort of adoption records? And I don't mean who their birth parents were, but just when somebody was adopted.
No. We don't have that. Adoptions are really, really difficult. I do have a person who comes in occasionally who works as a volunteer for an adoption finding group, and sometimes she can be real helpful in getting some information, or at least she's a contact for people who are trying to find information. But adoption records are just pretty much impossible to acquire. Okay, a site that you need to be aware of that you all have access to is the Digital Archive site, and you can easily access it from the State Library site. I think it's under Historical Records, I think is what it's still called on our library site, but when you click on it, it takes you to Digital Archives. And they have over 24 million records that they have scanned and entered into the archives. And it's a wide range of things. When we first started using it, 9 times out of 10, I didn't find anything when I typed in a person's name. Nowadays, we're getting hits. They've got marriage records. Unfortunately, death records are only Social Security records, so the old death records are not accessible. But a lot of marriage records are coming online. Things like, I've lost it now, wouldn't you know? Attorney general kinds of, who served as an attorney general. There's all kinds of information out there. Records from the prisons. A lot of things under miscellaneous records that would be very helpful. So you need to go in and look at that site, kind of cruise through some of the things so that you can help your patrons make good use of it. It's really becoming a real good site to do some beginning searching on. And do all of you have access to Ancestry.com in your libraries?
No.
Okay.
Library, but not the smaller branch.
Right. Okay, so that is something to suggest to your patrons when they're looking. It's a really good beginning source, and a lot of the larger libraries do have that access as long as you go to the library. You cannot believe everything it tells you, but that's the same with most all the databases, that you have to verify all the information that you get. But it's a good source for initial census. They've reloaded, in the past year, they reloaded all their census information so that it's much clearer and nicer to look at, much more readable. They've got a lot of the vital records indexes. One of the things they just added was passport information from 1875 to 1925, and that's really fascinating to look at if you by chance had any people that traveled during that period of time. So it's a good resource to direct your patrons to.
So you're saying that's a paid for site?
Ancestry.com, yes. That is a paid for site. Now, there's also a home version, and a lot of people who are really into genealogy, thank you. I haven't had coffee yet this morning. So anybody that are into genealogy may have the home version. Our version is a little different, the library edition version, but basically it's the same. So they may be really familiar with it.
I was going to say the other one that I know that's available is Heritage Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And how do any of you have that program?
Yes, we do.
We're doing it.
Okay, because I think those two, if I know most of the bigger, many, I shouldn't say most, many of the bigger libraries subscribe to both.
Right.
So, and if there's a way for people to buy a card, one of those is available remotely, and I think it's
Heritage Quest.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your customers are willing to invest in sometimes a library card, then they can do their searching from home. So
now Heritage Quest does not have all of the vital record databases that Ancestry does. Heritage Quest has very good census records. I haven't used it recently, so I can't tell you. Most of their records are by head of household for the census, but I think they're doing something about that so that they're getting more search capabilities. The good thing with Heritage Quest is it gives you access to something called Percy, which is journal articles, And also searching through books, because as you know, a lot of times you can pick up nuggets of information out of books, maybe not necessarily even about the direct member that you're looking for, but about what the times were then, what the conditions were, the things that they were going through that helped people put the whole family thing into context. I think that's pretty much all that I wanted to convey to you, but I'll be glad to try to answer any questions and give you more information about what we do here.
I have a question, and this is a little off the normal base of things, but we have an age grade class that is looking to do some community research type things and helping the community out. This institution, this is Carlotta, by the way. Anyway, one of the things that they have come up with is they want to, because we have a lot of local older families, they want to film family histories.
Oh.
Interview the kids, the families, mm-hmm. and film documents and question living people about the histories of some of their family members.
Right.
And if there was some way that we might be able to tie that in through either creating a website and a link or something else, I don't know. This is something that's just been mentioned in the last month or so, and they really haven't dug into it a lot, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there to see if there's if it's feasible.
Are you offering to create a website and then have us link to you? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just thinking that that might be a way of making it happen, and I'm not a web person very much, you know, but I could probably take some tips from Josh, who is very good at that, and maybe we could get, or some of these high school students could, who are so creative, help out and do that.
We have a person, doesn't work directly on our staff, but there is an oral history project going on. We used to have quite a number of staff, but we don't anymore. I think we're down to one. However, we could put you in touch with her.
Oh, that would be.
Because she probably has a lot of background information on how to do.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get this thing rolling. Yeah.
I know I have seen books in the various places I've worked that tell you this. Does people have volumes that they're familiar with?
No. This is Linda from Grandview. I think we have a couple of books. I don't have them sitting here at my desk, but Carla, I'll see if I can find your email and email you the names of them.
Why don't you put them out on the first Tuesday listener?
Okay.
Yes, for everyone, because I have seen several things, several books that are in print about, you know, how to take your family history, how to interview, how to do that. And
there was a project like that in our town last year at the senior center, and it went for, I think, a month or two
mm-hmm.
where that was done.
That'd be really
And funny. A local newspaper reporter conducted most of the interviews.
Pierce County, I believe, has, and in connection with the World War II veterans,
yes.
It seems to me that Pierce County, Timberland did it, Timberland, Centralia did it, I believe Snow Isle did it. So there are several libraries around that have done oral histories, and Pierce County did a whole here, remember that? Ancient. Lynn and I, we're not telling you how long ago that was. But libraries, you know, what we'll do is maybe get going on the listserv and send you, say, a list of maybe 10 books. My guess is that mm-hmm. there are at least 10 titles out there
okay.
that would give you information about you know, doing that. And we'll send it out on the listserv.
And we'll come up with some contact people.
Very good. Oh, yeah.
Talk to. Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, because I'm trying to help them out a little bit. I'm not real good at this. Anyway, anything you can give me, I appreciate. This is just a brand new idea for them.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
It surely does. Oral history is something you catch them while they're alive, and even if you don't do it with as much skill as you might have later,
you'll never
have another chance.
Exactly.
And Walla County's got a lot of old history.
We do, yes.
And I want to say that
particular area has lots of farm families that have been here since day one. Yeah.
I would say something that I noticed here in Grandview is that sometimes people talk a bit, and then later they wish that they had told a bunch of other things. They think of them later, so give them a second chance.
Sure, yeah. Maybe the thing is to video them and have a single tape per family. Would that? And then they can come in and view their tape, or I don't know how.
DVD.
Let's try. There you go. That's a better idea.
Trying to get a digital recorder. My guess is that someone in your community has a digital recorder, because
mm-hmm.
that way you can also index it a little bit easier too.
Sure.
And we do have the expertise over here at the State Library that I know we could answer some questions about doing that and putting bookmarking and things like that on it. Has any other libraries done a project like this, an oral history project, or had any things like that?
One thing while you're thinking, you could also invite them to bring in family pictures and put on the mm-hmm. scan on the DVD.
Yeah, and documents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Are there other questions for Lynn? Any other requests or things we can help with in terms of genealogical resources?
I want to mention something. This is Linda in Grandview. I've been involved a little bit personally with genealogy, and I have a person that just retired from my staff that has long been active in genealogical societies, and she does something called Random Acts of Genealogical Kindness.
Yes.
And that's a site online, and people volunteer, and most of them are, you know, experienced amateurs, but some of them are library staff people that do this on their own time. And that's very helpful if you have a really obscure question about a particular place in the United States that might not be Washington. So
I want to ask the genealogical what?
Random Acts of Genealogical Kindness.
Kindness. Oh.
KINDNESS.
And is this all one word, .com?
Let me see if I can tell. My computer's on.
Okay, because what we'll do is we'll send it out again. All of this stuff that we're writing furiously, and we will find the website. If you can't give it to us, we'll find it.
Let me put it in Google and I'll see.
Okay, and then why don't you send it or put it out on the listserv and we'll follow up. Okay.
And we like it when you use those guys because they have a lot more time to go in and do some of that in-depth researching that we don't. When we answer questions, the rule of thumb is about an hour for us to do the searching, and that includes finding the death date and finding the obituary, and if there's multiple papers, that takes more time. So if they're the more obscure kinds of information that you're looking for or your patrons are looking for, that's a really good resource. We have a number of people who come into the library with their list because they get them from that Random Acts of Genealogical Kindness. And they just come in with their whole list and sit there and go through and find the answers that these people are looking for. So it's a really good resource.
Now, I found the site just by putting the name in Google. And the one person that has just retired from my staff used to go on her time off down to the newspaper office, which has no index, mm-hmm. and hunt for obituaries for people.
Do any of you have local indexes that people have made of death dates and so on for your own county or town?
We have for our town in Grandview.
We would love to have you share that.
But we're going to with that rural digitization project. That's one of the things we're going to put on there.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is one of the real problems with doing any of this kind of research is the lack of indexes to be able to go through newspapers and find them. That's why we really push to have a concrete death date, a day, a month, and a year, because then the rule of thumb is to take the death date and work 10 days out from there. Usually an obituary has appeared, if it's going to, by that time. Now occasionally we find out that for some reason they died, you know, out of state or something, or they waited for people to get to the resident location, and so sometimes they're further out than that. Generally, we don't look further out unless we've got an index that tells us that something appeared later on. And the more recent obituaries are harder and harder to come by. The smaller newspapers, it's still a viable resource. The larger newspapers charge so much that a lot of families just don't put anything in. So encourage your people to put obituaries in if at all possible. But we do know that the cost is just astronomical for the larger newspapers.
And it's paid now, too. I mean, it used to be free.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
But now, it's,
now that's a major source of revenue for them, so
yeah,
they aren't
it
paid
is.
For free.
Does anybody besides Grandview have a local index of obituaries?
Kennesaw County has a library. Ours is, excuse me, Grandview doesn't have an index to the obituaries. We just have the death records. It's who's buried in Grandview.
That's good.
All it isn't the obituaries.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you the hint, you know, so you know where to look then.
So Kittitas County, do you have, what is it that you have a genealogical, what are your
society
records?
Society?
The Genealogical Society Library.
Okay.
And they have index cards with deaths and births.
Oh, so a true labor of love. True labor of love. So people, and how many libraries have genealogical volunteers who come in maybe one day a week or one day a month to help people?
Dayton does.
Anybody else? That's something that if you can hook up with your local genealogical society and the word gets out, that service has been, or you have a genealogical volunteer who will do a program, mm-hmm. you will find that you will get people. Usually, I should say, unless it's been done to death, that's a very well-attended program. So if you can find hookup, I would say, Diane, would you say that most counties have a genealogical society?
They do.
Usually, most do. And so you could contact them and offer to host, you know, if you haven't already done so in the recent past. You know, usually there's somebody there, not always, but who's capable of doing a program. And genealogical folk are very interested in sharing.
Yes.
So has anyone done any of those programs like that?
No, this is Grandview. We had a period of maybe a year or year and a half where we had a meeting down here, and I participated in that, and we shared. It was people interested in genealogy in a local, and there was maybe anywhere from 10 to 12 people that came once a month.
Okay.
I will tell you also that we do travel. We have a little presentation that we're willing to come and do. We have not found that libraries are our best audiences, only because there's only a few people within the customer base that are really interested. But we've done quite a number of genealogy presentations, like we went down to La Center and Woodland. We've been to Tenino, Yale, mostly the enclosed ones. But if you're interested in having a presentation, we could work and see if we could get out to your locations.
Has anyone besides Grandview had any success or any, I know when I worked at Puyallup, I did this several times, and it was, and then we also had somebody who was willing to come in for a period of time, like all volunteers, it comes and it goes. Anyone else had any experience with that?
I, about a month ago, did a small session, and it was an evening thing, which was probably not a very good thing for my area because a lot of the people that would have been interested are older. And so I'm going to plan on doing another one during the daytime.
And where is your area?
Tushy. This is Carlotta.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, because I think in afternoon, the great majority of people that I see do it are not always, but pretty much retired.
Yes.
And have time, and it's kind of their obsession.
Right.
So it's something good.
One of the other things I should tell you is that if you go on to the State Library website, there is a link to our blog there. And on the blog are all of the handouts that the genealogy group has put together. There's things like searching your
Irish ancestors.
Well, now that I said that, I'm not sure that's one of them. That might be
not
one
the Irish.
There are
books like that, though.
But what we've done is we've gone through and done some help lists for specific countries. The newest one that we're going to be working on is for Canada. So go in and check the blog and check for those lists, and you can print off any one of them that you want and make as many copies as you want of them.
Okay.
Any other questions or requests?
I have another question. We were talking about this presentation, and it's usually communities near you. What about for some of us that have acquired this video conferencing equipment and we need more programming?
We could definitely work something out.
Oh, that's a
on
good
those
idea,
guys.
Linda.
Yeah.
That a lot of us could benefit from it at
sure.
the same time without your having to travel.
That would be excellent. And then you'd get to see us.
How many of you have video conferencing equipment?
Grandview. And we need to get some programs. I've been beating the street trying to find somebody to come in and do have a program, and we haven't got anyone yet.
Well, it sounds to me like you have what you could do that. We at the State Library could do, and actually, you might want to contact. I was also thinking that our brown bag programs that are videotaped.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's possible that we could send out, that is one thing that I will give the contact information. If you have a videotape, they are, I believe they're put up on the website or just podcast?
They're ILL.
Okay, in other words, we had, for example, there was a woman, we just did a presentation called Dear Medora, and it was a series, actually very much a genealogical presentation. It was a woman who had gone back and through her a series of letters between her aunt and her mother, and this was in the 20s, you got a real good feel for what life was like in Oysterville. And we do have that. It's videotaped, and it was done very well. And we have a series of these. So if you wanted to order a series of author events, and they're usually connected with authors or mm-hmm. historical events. So, and these are videotapes that we have done, and I know that we would send them out. So if you were interested in...
Do you have those listed anywhere on the website?
You know what, we'll... Again, one more.
Yeah.
Susan and I are taking notes.
Right.
We will send this out on the listserv, a list of videotaped presentations from the... Because we have a programming department that does mm-hmm. a monthly mm-hmm. monthly program that is videotaped mm-hmm. and that we are willing to share.
Some of them have been very interesting, too. I mean,
just
recently there was one about the channeled scablands and the Ice Age floods.
And then we had a talking about a genealogical presentation or one that you should share with your history. We just recently have a very sprightly lady who is 84. And she is a survivor of the concentration camps, Japanese American woman, who does a very, she's a excellent speaker. We had the biggest crowd we've ever had. 200. We had overflow. We did not tell the fire department.
Yeah, but
literally, these people, because I mean, the survivors of these camps are dying off,
mm-hmm.
and so this was it was taped, and it would be a wonderful World War II. A lot of schools are doing presentations on, Japanese internment camps, and she speaks to this. She speaks to her family was on Vashon Island here in Puget Sound, and she talks about what it was like. She's put out a book, and she talks about what it was like. She's very articulate. I would strongly recommend that you, if you're interested in that type of program, that you get her tape. It was very good, and then you could, you know, have a discussion afterwards about that type of thing. It's just a powerful presentation. I had it at Puyallup, and like I say, we had standing room only crowd here.
They left, what, about an hour?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, we do have a series of like I say, videotape presentations that if you could hook them up with a speaker, if you feel there's an interest in your community.
Mm-hmm. Or just like you do with a movie night, have a big screen and have a monthly series of, you know, because some of them are geology and some of them are history and some of them are birds and some of them are Indian art, totem poles, and I mean,
they're all centered around Washington. That's the whole key to the thing, is they all had to take place in Washington or be written about Washington or something along those lines, but it crosses the whole gamut of. We've even had fiction writers that wrote about Washington State.
Well, I was just thinking that for some of us that can't afford to have speakers coming all the time, this might be a really good way of getting different programs into our little libraries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a question from Grandview. I remember when we were trying to get our equipment set up, and it took months and months and months to get it working right. And it's finally working right just in the last few weeks. And we were told that we had better not try to show movies on it because some library did, and it messed up the programming so bad that then they couldn't use it for its intended purpose, which was video conferencing from afar, live presentations coming in.
The only thing I would say is it's possible that, well, I would advise that you talk to somebody, but I'm wondering if they tried to show something that was video copyright protected.
I don't know. I don't know. They just said it caused so much trouble they had a hard time getting it to work for the other uses. So I don't know enough technically to...
Well, I will say that we had a series, a film series, where we bought the copyright. And do remember, I also will put in a plug for our statewide databases. How many of you have bought that license that enables you for $50 to show any movie all year as many times as you want in that catalog? Have you been, are you are aware of that?
No, Conteray did that last year, but we haven't done it at Columbia yet.
Because I think with the window just passed, you need to contact Will Stavinga. We are doing a statewide purchase for movie database licensing, and it includes, I had a volunteer who was just film mad, and he would program for me 10 weeks of, you know, good, and then he'd bring it up, and the catalog that's available is quite large, and it, for $100, I mean, just think about it, $10, if you show 10 movies, you've paid for it. Or $50 is for, there are two catalogs that you can buy, and if you can really stretch, if your friends at the library are willing to spend like $150, you can get both catalogs, and that pretty much gives you the right to show any movie legally. So you can do video programming in the summer for kids, you know, you can
have a teen movie night or teen afternoon with popcorn. And
It's a really cheap way of programming, and it's not very expensive, but you have to buy the rights. You have to buy the movie rights. And the only bad thing about it is you can advertise the movie night, but you can't advertise the movie. You can advertise the movie in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, you can put up posters, but you can't send an advertisement to the newspaper and say, I'm going to show White Christmas.
You can tell them that you're having a movie night.
That's right.
And check at the library for more information.
That's right. You can say that, but that's the only restriction. And the reason they do that is that there are still some movie houses that do make a living doing second run. Second run. So this is their effort to kind of, protect their base a little bit. But we had a pretty steady film series. And like I say, for $100, if your friends are willing to kick in, that's a pretty cheap source of programming, and you can use that license as much as you want. If you chose to show a movie, 52 movies a year or 100 movies a year, you could do it. Mm-hmm. So, but you have to have a big enough. The other thing is you need to be able to... maybe have the proper equipment to do a big screen. If that's the big thing. It's better if the bigger screen you've got, the better off you are.
Hi, this is Cynthia in Anacortes, and we have a $50 license.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a catalog, and we found that it's difficult to identify the titles because there's only a limited number of studios that you can use with your license. So if anyone out there has access to a catalog that can point us to that,
if Cynthia, this is Carolyn. Uh-huh. If you will email me, I'll see if I can't find that source that my volunteer used.
Hey, thank you so much, Carolyn.
So, because yeah, he did. I know the $50 one didn't have as many as the $100 one, because the $100 one had quite a few more studios. And if you can afford the $150, then you're pretty much got it covered. But yeah, I do know that the $50 has fewer studios.
But you can put your toe in the water with the 50.
Yeah, and I will go back and find out. I will track down what he used, because he did, my volunteer was quite film savvy, and I know who he is, and I'll go back and contact him again.
But you put my name on that list too. This is Carlotta.
Carlotta?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What you have to do, this is Janet from Columbia County, but when I was at Ponderay, what I had to do, once you get your agreement, there's a phone number or on the agreement, and the licensing place is actually in California, and you have to contact them, and they'll send you something via email.
Okay.
And the $100 one includes Disney titles, is why there's more, but the $50 one does not include Disney titles.
Hmm. Great, because this is Cynthia again, when we tried to get to the site and we asked if they could help us identify films, they said no, we needed to do our own research. And so that makes you assume that there's some kind of catalog or list that we can go to.
There was. I didn't have any problem getting one. But.
Well, I would get information on that. Thanks very much. I think that our license will be much more useful to us. Have that catalog.
Will and I are very interested, because, if we do this on a statewide database licensing, we want good customer service or we won't go with them. So I am going to track that down, Cynthia.
Thank you.
We will, because, we do this as a statewide service, and so if they want to keep our business, they better be decent. Of course, that's me sounding nasty, but no, I will be diplomatic with the person. But no, we'll go back and find out what's going on.
Thank you.
Anything else?